You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. With this year's legislative session behind them, lawmakers are setting their sights on next January. And the Delaware Legislative Black Caucus has announced some policy priorities for the future, including several that are environmental in nature. Delaware Public Media's Sophia Schmidt talks with State Representative Larry Lambert, a longtime environmental justice advocate, about his goals for reducing health burdens on communities.
So now that this year's legislative session is over, the Delaware Legislative Black Caucus announced a few policy priorities going forward, and several of those were related to environmental policy. So one effort in particular, the cumulative health impacts, is something that you've been taking the lead on. What can you tell me about this idea?
So what that refers to is some of our overburdened fence line communities that live right along the fence line of some of the heavy industry polluters. What we want to do is to address the issue around cumulative impacts, because right now when a heavy industry company comes into these communities, as long as the level of pollution they're producing is at 100% of the allowable level, then they're allowed to establish themselves by right. But we want to make sure that if these communities are already overburdened with a number of different polluters, a number of heavy industry, we want to make sure that other factors are taken into account, such as the cumulative health impacts on these communities, before legacy companies are allowed to expand or before more companies are allowed to come in.
Okay, so basically this would be a change in the way that the permitting process happens for industrial operations?
Potentially, yes. So to be clear, right now we're in the phase of discussions being had. Discussions have been had for years, but now we're moving to a space of more substantive conversations, and we want to make sure that we have a pathway forward where our overburdened communities aren't consistently being the same ones that are burdened by heavy industry.
What is your plan in terms of the timetable? Do you have a goal for when you'd like to see this in legislation and passed?
So from my perspective, like I mentioned, right now we're in the conversation phase and we never want to get too ahead of ourselves. So there is no legislation formally filed, but there's a lot of different stakeholders talking. The community is mobilized, the community is organized, and the community wants change. And I'm an active, happy member of the Infrastructure and Environment Subcommittee of the African American Task Force with the Delaware Legislative Black Caucus, and we're having discussions around all of these issues.
And when you mention stakeholders in these conversations, what kind of stakeholders are you taking into account?
So we're talking about stakeholders at every level, stakeholders at the local level, the county level, the state level. We want to make sure that it's a conversation. We don't want to proceed in a way where we step on anyone's toes. We want to make sure that the applicable entities are all included, particularly starting with the communities. Our fence line communities, they have solutions. They know what they need. They know what's best, and we have to start with listening.
So this past legislative session, there was a bit of progress on environmental justice issues, namely a House concurrent resolution that you sponsored called the Justice 40 Oversight Committee. So what will this group do?
So this resolution establishes the Justice 40 Oversight Committee, which addresses an initiative from President Joe Biden. When President Biden came into office, he established the White House Environmental Justice Advisory Committee, also known as the WEJAC, and a part of his Justice 40 initiative established that when it comes to federal funds coming to the 50 states, whether those funds deal with green energy, whether they deal with climate change, it establishes that 40% of those funds go to overburdened communities, overburdened environmental justice communities. So those are the communities that I've been engaged with for years. So for us to be the first state in the union to pass this resolution to establish this Justice 40 Oversight Committee, again, Delaware is the first state, and we want to make sure that our overburdened communities get addressed. So, you know, when it comes to our brothers and sisters down in Sussex dealing with the ammonia and the issues from the chicken farms, whether it comes to our communities up here in Claymont that deal with some of the pollution in the general Marcus Hook area right here on the border, whether it's our brothers and sisters in Newcastle and Wilmington, we want to make sure that this covers the entire state.
I know that one of the issues that can come up for environmental justice communities is when you have a bunch of, whether it's, you know, industrial operations around you or whatnot, sometimes there are, I guess, a lack of hard data as to the cumulative impacts. Is that something that this oversight committee could contribute to, is giving communities more information about the health implications of the exposures that they have?
There is potential for that. Right now, the way the committee is established, the main goal of this particular committee is to make sure that when these funds come into the state regarding green energy, regarding climate change, that they do go to the overburdened communities. And one of the things that the communities want is they want education. They want transparency. So in that regard, we definitely would hope that education is a component of what these communities will get.
What are some of the biggest environmental issues, in your opinion, that are facing communities in Delaware?
I think that some of the biggest issues impacting our communities are the cancer clusters. You hear about disproportionate rates of asthma. You also just have the issue of anticipatory anxiety. There's a chronic stress in some of our communities where they don't think of if there's going to be another hazardous chemical incident, they think of when is there going to be another hazardous chemical incident. And that chronic stress, I mean, that's where you get into the space of people being uncomfortable where they lay their heads at night. And that's a space that nobody should have to live in. I'm working on another piece of legislation that deals with hazardous chemical releases, wireless emergency notifications, because when the Crota incident happened on Thanksgiving Sunday of 2018, another issue that the community brought up was that they didn't feel like they got notified in a way that was effective enough. So I want to make sure that that the standard we have now, which is to contact people via wireless emergency alerts in geographic areas of impact, I want to make sure that we codify that into law. I'm working with Senator Hansen on that issue too. And again, we're having conversations with stakeholders, and that bill is filed. So we look forward to moving forward and potentially having success with that in January.
So now that you've been serving in the legislature for a couple months, has your perspective on the barriers to environmental justice in Delaware changed at all?
From my perspective, particularly with the success of HDR 40, the Justice 40 Oversight Committee, I do have faith. And it's lovely to work with so many wonderful advocates down in the State House. I've also worked with other senators. I've worked with an individual across the aisle in the House. So I'm definitely looking forward to continuing to build relationships in Dover as I've done for years. And I want our overburdened communities, our environmental justice communities, to know that, you know, there is hope. We're working hard. But what's most important is that we started with listening. We hear you. We see you. You are worthy.
State Representative Larry Lambert of Claymont, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sophia.
Thanks, Sophia. And next up on The Green, we head to Brandywine 100, where contributor Larry Nagengast tells us about another historic preservation effort, one that seems to be building some momentum. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.